I'm glad I don't have a joke or anything now. Gosh, that's not the, that's heavy. You know, every time I talk to Jan, I'm amazed at what she's doing. And at the huge need, because frankly, and you know this, for most of us, we don't see it. It's happening outside of our world, and we just don't realize how big it is. We are in a series called Jesus and We. Now, 2018, we've talked about this a bunch. It was the year of transition for our church. It was the year of coming together, to unify together, and to have vision, to walk forward together. But 2019, I am convinced with all of my heart that this is going to be the year of building foundation for growth and health and just helping us to be a people who live out what it means to go in the name of Jesus and help reach people in His name and to grow, to help everybody, no matter where they are, to take one step closer to Jesus, one step closer, so that those who don't know Him, they can hear this amazing message of life. And for those of us who do, we have chosen to follow Jesus, that we look more and more like Him every day. That's our vision, going and growing. We can't do this on our own. We can't do this in our own power, but God is working through us. And that's the key word for this message in this whole series. God is working through us, you and me. It is not me and it is not you and it is not just us in our own power. It's Jesus and we. We need each other. You know, last week I started talking about this this series on Jesus and we started talking about faith. And, you know, I said last week that by definition, we are a people of faith. How many of you, let me get out my clicker. How many of you did the Torin Wells devotion that I recommended last week? I'd like to see your hand. Would you bring up that slide? We're going to skip the next one. There you go. I did this, you know, I've done this devotion probably 3 times now because it has meant so much to me. If you want just an exercise in learning how to pray for big faith, I want to challenge you to do this devotion by Torin Wells. You can just use your camera, take a picture of that QR code. It'll take you right to the website. But it is powerful, and it'll change your life. Because as we get to know God, and as we follow Him, and as we pray to Him, and ask Him for big faith, He invites us constantly to step out and follow Him. And, you know, we said that it's kind of like last week when I mentioned jumping out of an airplane, that time when Raylan paid for that. And you're wondering, why does she not want me anymore? I'm not sure. But I said that the guy I was tethered to didn't want to die that day. And that helped me have faith to jump out of the plane. See, when Jesus calls us to follow Him, He is inviting us to step out into the unknown. He is inviting us to risk our comfort and our reputation, our resources, our time and our money, our lives, our relationships. He's inviting us to risk those because we're tethered to Him. We're not alone. It's Jesus and we. See, we're convinced that life with Jesus is greater than any life that the world has to offer. And the world has a lot to offer. It does. There are some great things out there. Spent the day yesterday with my family and some friends from Wisconsin / North Carolina at Disney World yesterday. The world has so much to offer. There's a lot of good stuff. But this I know, that we can live and we can enjoy all of the stuff that the world has to offer. And at the end of the day, we're still not satisfied, right? We're still empty. See, Jesus says, follow me. I know it's the unknown, but everything's the unknown. But follow me, you're tethered to me. And Jesus says, I promise you life. I promise not only to be with you, but my Spirit will live in you. You will have life. You will have peace like you've never known. You will have suffering because suffering is a part of this world. But you walk with me, and I will be with you always, living in you. So today we're going to, that's what we talked about last week with this big faith, but today we're going to put some feet on that message. We're going to look at ways that we can live out our faith. What is God inviting us to step out with Him? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 4. And this discussion that he has with his disciples is immediately after Jesus encountered this Samaritan woman. Probably one of the great stories of the New Testament, where Jesus encounters that Samaritan woman. She's at a well near her home, and it was about midday. It's hot. Jesus has been walking with his disciples. They go off to buy some food, and Jesus is there. He's thirsty, and he walks up to a lady, a Samaritan woman, and asks for her to give him some water at the well she's at. And it leads to this incredible conversation about Jesus offering her living water. He's asking her for regular water, but in the conversation, he says, I can offer you living water. She's excited. She goes off to tell her family about this guy, this guy who says he's the Messiah. And so she runs off. And verse 31 tells us that his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. I mean, they just came back, eat something. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Forever, I read this, and I still do. I read this. This is a bizarre exchange. Rabbi, you must be hungry. We're hungry. Let's all eat. I have food you know nothing about. They're concerned about him. And he's like, I've got food. You can't see it. And the disciples, they say to each other in verse 33, could someone have brought him some food? I mean, did somebody that get him takeout that we don't know about? Did they go to Avalon Pockets and get some falafel and hummus? Because I'm sure that's what Jesus ate. And I'm telling you, it's worthy. It's good stuff. So they don't know what's going on. But then the next thing that Jesus said is so powerful. It completely changes their paradigm. Because they realize instantly that what Jesus is talking about and what they're talking about this food, this nourishment, are two completely different things. Jesus said in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, my food, what fills me up, is so different than what everybody else is looking for. Because when everybody else is thinking about their own needs, which is fair, but you know, I'm hungry, I need to eat. I need to be filled. I need nourishment. Jesus responds, what actually fills me up is to live for God's purposes, to give myself away. What nourishes me is actually to output, to give to others, to do the work of the one who sent me, to pour into their lives, to finish the task that I was sent to do. See, the disciples are normal. They're focused on survival. They're focused on consumption. We have needs and we have to take care of ourselves. They're like, Jesus, we need to make sure you're okay. You need to consume. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that at all, because what filled him up, what satisfied him, was pouring into other people. That's what filled him. It nourished him in ways people just, they could not understand, because it goes totally against human nature, right? Because human nature, it's self-preserving. At our best, it's self-preserving, because at our worst, it's selfish and self-centered. You know, and I know people are like, I don't like hearing that, and I get it. We like to think that everybody is okay and everybody's just fine. My kids and I, we love this country song that was popular last year. It's called Most People Are Good by Luke Bryan. Great song, inspirational. My kids, you know, will sing it in the car. And I deeply, so deeply want to believe it's true. Most people are good. But then I get on 408. And I'm like, where's the song Most People Are Crazy? Because that's what they are. They're crazy. I'm at a red light the other day. A guy is honking at me because I won't turn right on red. I'm like, there's a kid crossing in front of me in the crosswalk, and he's honking at me. I read or watch the news about politics. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there is no doubt. People are not mostly good, right? I mean, most people are not good. We're selfish. We're self-centered. Me too. Parents, you know this is true, because we see it in our kids. They can be so beautiful and so amazing. But isn't it strange that we never have to teach them how to say mine? That we don't have to teach them how to hoard and to be selfish? No, generosity is what we have to teach. We have to teach them how to share, and it's so hard. Those of you who are my age, maybe a little older, you know, somewhere around 40 years old, you probably remember this commercial. It was from McDonald's. when I was growing up. Do you remember the one, two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a sesame seed bun? That's worship right there. Yeah, I remember this commercial. I had it, I mean, it was like the first rap I ever learned. And sadly, the last rap I ever learned. But do you remember that promise? It was, you order a Big Mac and you knew exactly what you were getting. Every time, guaranteed, most of the time. It was the promise. But then something happened with a competitor that changed everything. And I don't know if you remember this, but Burger King came in on the scene with a slogan, "Have it your way." You know, you want mustard instead of mayo? You got it. No pickles? No problem. See, while McDonald's was saying, do it our way, all of a sudden Burger King comes and says, we'll do it your way. Why? Because you're the consumer and you matter most. What you want matters most. And we believe it. We really think that what I want matters more than everything else. We've been convinced that what we want, what fills us up, what satisfies us is most important in every area of our lives, because it's all about me and my needs and my desires and my wants and my what satisfies me and what nourishes me, right? Even if we're never satisfied, because we're not. Even if we never feel like we've had all the nourishment we need, we're never satisfied. And tragically, that consumer mindset has made its way into the church as well as everywhere else. And you know this, and I'm not here to step on your toes. If your toes are stepped on, or if the phone rings, you answer it, because it might be the Lord talking to you, not me. Okay, my goal is not guilt. I want to help define reality, because over and over, and I'm trying to think. You know, I've been working in churches for so long, but I'm sure I've said this too, that we proudly church shop, looking for the church that fits our preferences. Right? I bet most of us in this room have done this. We complain how hard it is to find a good church that meets our needs, right? I've never heard somebody say, I'm just looking for a church where I feel like I can jump in and serve and fill in some gaps. I've never heard that. I hope it happens all the time and I'm just crazy on the edge, but probably not. See, last week we talked about that by definition, we are a people of faith. Well, if you're taking notes, you can know this, that we're something else by definition. By definition, we are not spiritual consumers, but we are spiritual contributors by definition. This isn't up for grabs. This isn't up for debate. This is who we are, because we understand that the church does not exist for the church. The church exists for the world. The church is the only organization in history that explicitly exists for those who are not currently participants. Do you realize that? No other organization exists for others on the outside, but for us on the inside. But not the church. We're not allowed. That's not our calling. Jesus has said, no, I live for God's calling, for the world. And so you, as followers of me, you do too. If we understand this, church, it changes everything. Now, if you're new here, I'm so glad you're here. And I want you to sit back if there is any guilt, it is not for you. In fact, I want you to sit back and go, so this is what being part of God's family looks like. But for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, if you're part of this church, awesome. My prayer is that this spurs you to be more of a contributor. But maybe you're just visiting, and maybe you're a part of another church somewhere else, or maybe you're doing the church shopping thing. Wherever you land, listen, we're all on the same team, right? Avalon Church is no better than anybody else. This is one local community of believers. But wherever you land, whatever church you call your church family, this is for you. Because we are not consumers. We are spiritual contributors. Because we follow Jesus. And Jesus demonstrates what fills us up, what satisfies us, what nourishes us is to do the will of Him who sent us. Amen? His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as in heaven. Do you know how that happens? Through His hands and feet, through His tangible presence in the world. That's us. That's us. And Jesus made it really clear what this looks like. We shared this verse last week, and I want to do it again this week, because what does it look like to follow Jesus? It's a new command I give you, love one another. But I want to focus on something, because he doesn't say in this passage, love one another like you love yourself. He said that earlier, but he's up in the game now in this passage. This is farther along in his ministry. He says, no, love one another, because how? As I have loved you, in that way, love one another. See, Jesus lived for the world. We must do the same. Jesus died for the world. And as his followers, we must do the same. We must die to ourselves. That we are the hope and that we are God's means of bringing hope to the world, you and me. We're the plan. When we say yes, we're the plan. We have to put aside our preferences. We have to waive our rights. We have to even sacrifice our needs, because life with Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. See, we say it's a sacrifice, but the reality is it's not a sacrifice. When we sacrifice our time or our reputation or our job or our money, we think it's a sacrifice, but the reality is it should have never had a hold on us anyway, because it doesn't satisfy. Jesus promises something that satisfies him. So to give up what doesn't satisfy, to grab on what does, seems like a no-brainer, but it isn't, because it's hard for all of us. It's so hard. We are spiritual contributors. We find fulfillment and satisfaction when we empty ourselves in Jesus' name. And what's crazy and what's so surprising and what's beautiful, the upside-down way of God, is that when we give up our needs, when we sacrifice for others, our needs are met in the process. And I don't understand how it's true, but I can tell you story after story in this room where somebody was like, our schedule was just crammed. But then we said, God is calling us to do whatever. And we started doing that. And all of a sudden, we're finding life in ways we never had before. There are stories in here. We had no margin in our budget. None. But we knew God was calling us to contribute to what he is doing through his family. And we started giving. And we don't know how to explain it. I'm telling you, I hear this story all the time. So I'm not just making it up. This isn't a pastor story. This is real. People say all the time, I started giving. And all of a sudden, ends were being met that I didn't think were possible before. Because when we empty ourselves for others, our needs get met. I don't understand how that's possible, but I'm telling you, story after story in this room of that being true, it is the upside down way of God. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It never has been and it never will be. Our church family doesn't exist for our church family. We exist for others. So, let's apply this beast. How are we doing? How are you doing? I'm going to run us through an exercise. This is not an exercise about feeling guilty, okay? Please. This is about defining reality, because we can't grow if we don't know where we are right now. Agreed? So I want to help define reality. When it comes to being a contributor versus a consumer, here's one thing I assure you. I'm not going to ask you to share this with anybody, okay? This is between you and the Lord, and I will not ask you to put this on a piece of paper or tell your neighbor or any of that weird stuff, all right? But I have a scale up here. Scale of 1 to 10. How are you doing? Consumer versus contributor. How are you doing? Are you a consumer of spiritual goods, or are you a contributor to others? Now, unless you died on the cross, you don't get to circle 10, okay? Unless you died for the sins of the world, 10's off limits. And if you're not sure if you did or not, I want you could just turn to your neighbor and say, am I the Messiah? They'll tell you. So just get that clear right now. But here's some help. Maybe you're wondering, okay, where am I? How do I know? Let me give you a little bit of help. If you call Avalon Church your church family, meaning you're not new here. If you're new here, you think about this in your own life or whatever. But if you're not new here, this is your church. And you walked in today and you dropped off your kids to somebody else who is serving you. And you're benefiting from other people's kindness and you're not serving anywhere. You grab some coffee, sit in a comfortable seat that somebody else set up, enjoying an air-conditioned building that is just beautiful, but other people are paying for it. See, if you haven't joined a ministry team or you haven't given any type of financial help, but you love and enjoy the church, It's okay. Just be real. Give yourself a 2 or a 3. Unless you make everybody's life miserable around you, give yourself a 1. Fair? No elbows. That's not okay. But some of you, you really should give yourself a 7, 8, maybe even a 9. Because this is your family. You're always available serving, maybe in 2 or 3 different areas. Maybe you're serving too much and it's time to back off a little bit. You seek God on behalf of the church family. You pray for us. You pray that God would work through us. You bring people with you. You're inviting your neighbor. You're getting to know people. You serve people in need. You would consider yourself all in. And if that's you, don't hesitate. 7, 8, 9. Just be honest with yourself. Look at the scale. Give yourself an honest number of where you are. I'm not going to ask you to share it. But if you find yourself at a 6 or below, this message was designed for you because I believe God has something special for you. I believe God wants to stir something in your life that is greater than you've ever known. This is not about getting more resources in the church. This is not about getting more helpers in the church. Honestly, those are great. But this has never been about the church. This is about what the church is called to do, and that's go and grow. It's about other people. So I think God wants to do something in you that creates life in a way you've never seen, creates power in you in a way that you've never seen, because it will not come up empty. When you empty yourself, when you pour yourself into others, when you love other people like Jesus does, you will find life and your needs will get met. See, that's God's will for you. If you're a 6 or below, God's will for you is to feel part of a family, to be part of something God is doing, to experience life together in a way you've not experienced before. That's God's will for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can be assured of this. You are gifted and you are called to serve others, not by yourself, together, Jesus and we. We are a family filled with God's Spirit who steps out into the unknown to boldly serve in Jesus' name. When you do, you're going to be amazed at what he does. What's really cool is that when we step out in faith, when we step out into the unknown, sometimes doing very uncomfortable things, even before we arrive, we find that God has already been preparing other people, drawing them to himself. It's true. It is the most amazing thing that when maybe it's a neighbor that you feel like I'm compelled to go and just invite over for coffee. God, I don't know what you're going to do. Just help build a relationship. And all of a sudden you get together and you start having conversations and you find out that God has already been doing some things in their life. They might not even believe in God, but their questions are being raised or just they have some thoughts that they need to process, and all of a sudden you're there. It's true. See, it's not our job to persuade people to follow Jesus. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. All I'm doing is entering the conversation that God is already having with people. See, the church is designed to be God's tangible presence, his hands and feet in the lives of the world. But God is already working on their heart because we can't work on the heart. I don't have that power. You don't either. Amen, hallelujah, thank the Lord we don't, because he does that. All I can do is be faithful and say, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to use me, but I'm available. Yes, I'm willing to step out. I know that I'm connected to you. Last Tuesday night, my life group celebrated a birthday. We were at Chewy's restaurant, and we had a blast, and they put us in our own section, thank goodness, because we would have interrupted everybody else's life, and because we were having so much fun. Our server was fantastic. At some point, he told me that he was going to be coming to my church this Sunday, and I'm like, I never even told you that I had a church or that I was a pastor or I didn't invite you to our church or anything, but somebody did. I don't even know who. But somebody in our group invited him. One of us saw beyond themselves. One of us was willing to step out, get a little bit uncomfortable, and invite this young man to be a part of our family today. And what's really cool is that when he was talking to me, he said that God was already doing some other things in his life. Rob, I don't know if you're here, but if you are, welcome. I'm glad you are a part of what God is doing here. See, God desires to work in us. All of us, together. He wants to work in this building and he wants to work outside of this building. He wants us to contribute in his church family in this place. If you're not participating alongside others right here, you're missing out on what God is doing in this place. We have so many visitors, people who have, maybe they haven't been to church in years. Maybe they're people who have, their heart is so damaged because of something that's happened in their life. And they come and they're a part of this place. And if you are serving here in this place, you are a part of blessing them and helping them. See, God's doing an incredible work in this place, bringing transformation to so many lives in here, including mine, including yours. Don't miss out on being a part of that. He invites you to serve in his church family, but he also wants you to serve in another way. He wants you to serve as his church family, because it's not all about this building. It's not all about us. In fact, the church never had anything to do with the building, did it? The church is a people, a family, not a building. So God wants us to open our eyes to see the world the way he does, to see the needs around us the way he does. I mean, we have family, friends, coworkers, neighbors who are broken and they're hurting. There are people around us who could never give us anything in return. God calls us to love them, to serve them. God calls us to love and serve people who hate us. They despise what we believe. They despise any concept of God. We're called to love and serve them because Jesus died for them. That's what it means to love as Jesus. So in this past week, I'd ask you, who have you served? What have you given to? Who in your life have you been listening to? How have you encouraged people? Who is different in your life because you were involved in theirs? How is life different? See, I want to be a part of a church that loves more than we've ever been loved by those around us. Don't you? Don't you want to be a church that loves people more than you've ever been loved by them? I want to be a community that serves others, even those who could never offer us anything back. I want to serve others more than we've been served. I want to be a people so overwhelmed by God's love and the way he's loved on us that we accept people right where they are. Because Jesus accepted us right where we were. And no offense, people, he still accepts us right where we are. Anybody perfect? Yeah, good, I'm glad. None of us are perfect. And Jesus still accepts us. Jesus died on the cross. All of the wrath, all the punishment happened to him. And now we get to walk with people, walk together to become more and more like Jesus. I keep talking about definitions. By our very definition, followers of Jesus follow Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He went about getting nourishment and fulfillment in ways that nobody could imagine by doing the will of the one who sent him. We're not consumers. We are contributors. We are the church, and we exist for the world. So I'm going to give you a couple of ways. Again, six or below, this is your church family. I want to invite you to be a part of a couple of things. If you're a 7, 8, or 9, pray for others. I'm not asking you necessarily, unless God does something in your heart. But we began this item of the month thing because we know that together we can make a big impact. We started the item of the month to be an easy way of just jumping in and saying, my money's not just for me. My money is for other people. Let's help somebody together. It's just an easy step, and it is a beautiful way that we can impact, have a big impact in one area together. Maybe you got a gift card for Christmas. That would be a great thing to offer if you could donate that. Maybe grab one next time you're out at the store. Because the gifts this month help victims who have experienced things that most of us could not even dream of. Maybe it's Avalon Kids or Avalon Youth. You know, there are a few things that impact a life more than mentoring or loving on a kid. I used to be a youth pastor for many years. I have found that you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to lead games. You just need to be available. You just need to be somebody who encourages kids. Offer whatever gifts God has given you into the lives of kids. Offer whatever talent and passion you have. Kids, they like gross passions sometimes. You can do amazing things with snot. I'm just kidding. Not really. I mean, some of the things we did that made teenagers fall in love with us, it's gross. It's amazing. Offer whatever you have. And maybe you're like, but I hate kids. I get it. I want to remind you that you used to be one, but just in case you forgot. You know, maybe for you, it's time to send a kid to one of the conferences that they're going to. I mean, we have this fourth, fifth, and sixth grade conference coming up in about a week or two. We have a youth conference coming up in a couple of weeks. Maybe it's just helping send a kid. Maybe it's sending a kid to Mexico on our June mission trip. Maybe it's being a part of VBS or helping a kid attend camp. Some of you, though, you're like, that's not necessarily for me, but you love making new people feel welcome. I don't know if you know this, we need like 20 to 30 greeters every month to be a part of a greeter cafe guest services team. I mean, for some of you, you have such a great smile and you love to shake hands. Others, you love making coffee. Others, you want to help people get plugged in. Do you realize that if we had 30 people, it would be about 30 minutes to an hour a month? Are you willing? It really sounds crazy. Maybe you just know stuff that I don't. I'm trying to figure out a way to make the family bathroom back there into a kitchenette for so many different ministries. It would revolutionize some of the things we're doing. I have no idea where to start. Maybe you do. Maybe your gift is music, sound, tech, graphics, video. I could go on. There are ways to serve here. Maybe you're passionate about showing love to those who are hurting. We have families here who have gone through tragedies, and sometimes the pastors don't even find out about it or don't know who it is. And days, a week will go by, and we feel horrible because, of course, we want to make sure people feel loved on, but they didn't. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a team of people who immediately, when somebody went into the hospital, that they knew and they put together a plan to help that family? Wouldn't that be amazing? Or to put meals together for those families. That is the kind of real life ministry that churches often do terribly bad. Sent me an email this week. Hey, as you guys are talking about this human trafficking awareness and the item of the month, what about those who are part of the government shutdown? Never thought about that. Do we have anybody in our church part of the government shutdown? If we do, if you're in here and you're in need because you haven't been paid and you're a part of that, would you mark that down on the connection card? I have no idea what we're going to do, but let's walk through this together. That's what family does, right? For some of you, you love getting out of the building and you do outreach. And I tell you what, we have so many outreach teams. We have a team that goes to Biflo every week to serve. We have a team that goes downtown Orlando. We have Jennifer and Mauricio are putting together this mission trip all the time going to Mexico. And the stuff that we're doing there is incredible. They head up food drives. They head up gift drives. I mean, there's so many things that are done. Maybe you want to be a part of that too. Maybe you want to get out of these walls. For some of you, it's just to begin contributing financially to what God is doing here. I mean, ministry is expensive. And it's so funny. My dad once said, when I first started being in the ministry, he said, so where does the church get all the money to do everything? I mean, what organization's paying them? And I remember laughing because I was new in this. And I was like, I don't think there's any organizations out there paying churches to do ministry. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure there are. I'm telling you now, 25 years later, there ain't. Everything that happens here is done by this group of people right here. This family pays for this building, pays for the lights. Everything that's done here is done by them. And so I want to challenge you. If you've never given, I want to challenge you to begin. Maybe you give once in a while. I want to challenge you. If you're part of this family, if you call this your spiritual home, I challenge you to start giving regularly. Maybe even signing up for online regular giving, because I can't even tell you how much that helps us plan in consistency, and especially during summer and when times where people are gone. See, generosity isn't about changing the church. Generosity changes you. And when we are generous together, lives out there are changed. That's what it's all about. Mama's done. In a couple of weeks, we're going to begin a life group called FPU, Financial Peace University. It is a great way to work towards financial health. Maybe you're in debt and you're like, I don't even know how to give. Maybe you just want to see finances through God's eyes. I want to encourage you to sign up for that class. We also have life groups and going on. That's going to begin in February. Great place to make friends, but more than that, it's a place to grow together. You can be a Christian all by yourself, but you cannot be a growing Christian by yourself. Some of you are mature believers and you're like, life group's great, but I want to work one-on-one with somebody. Me too. I want you to do that too. See, everybody's looking for more in life. Maybe it's time to get out of your comfort zone, step out in faith, and do something crazy like inviting a neighbor over to grill out. Crazy. Maybe it's like inviting somebody at work to come over and watch the Super Bowl with you. Not so that you can say anything, but just so that you can build a relationship. Maybe it's being available for God to enter into the conversation he's already having with people. Just being a friend, building relationships, and one day, who knows, you might get to share your story of faith with that person. You might just invite them to meet your church family. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll even ask you about your own faith. So how can you be a contributor? How can you get in the game? See, on the connection card, there's a space at the bottom. And forgive me, I meant to have it up here. I left it down there. But there's a space at the bottom. I want to say it right. It says, I'd like more info about blank. Would you fill in the blank with one or two areas that maybe you're interested in? And there's so many more. These came to my mind the quickest. I would really love to know, because if you do that, what I will do is I will send your name to the different people who are over certain ministries, and they can help you get plugged in. But before I close, and I'm closing right now, I need to mention one more thing. Because this might have been a weird message for you. Maybe you're new and you're like, wow, I don't know how that applies to me. We've been talking about working together in Jesus' name and being an impact in people's lives. And maybe this Jesus stuff is kind of new to you. And I get it. I'm so glad you're here. But maybe it's confusing. I want you to know something. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. I mean, God became man, sacrificed himself at the mercy of those he even created to die to pay for the penalty so that we could have a relationship with God. Everything in me says that since you were born, God has been having a conversation with you, drawing you to himself. And we're here to say to you that we would love for you to discover Jesus and just walk as we discover him together. You can have the life that Jesus offers. You don't have to do anything magical. You don't have to do anything special. You just have to say, I am yours. And that's the hardest thing in the world to say because we want to be our own God. But to say, no, I follow you. You do that, it'll change everything. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus. This message has been one about going and serving and doing that. But the reality is it's just been one step in following Jesus and lordship and becoming more and more like you. God, I hope that nobody ever thinks that a message like this is, my goal is just to get helpers and givers. Lord, it is about helping people follow you with their whole life. Because I know that when we follow you, you do powerful things. You bring people to yourself. You change our lives. You bring healing to our soul. You healing to our families. So help us to follow you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus. And Lord, if there are people in this room who have never chosen to follow you, may today be the day. May today be the day where they follow you for the first time, offering you their life, beginning this journey together. We know that's only possible through you and what you did. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's worship.